Turn with me, if you would, back to Revelation 22. I would like to encourage you to silently, privately ask the Lord to open your heart to what we're about to read. Revelation 22, verse 20. It says, "He which testifieth these things." Who is he? Verse 16 says, "I, Jesus." Verse 18, he said, "I testify." He which testifieth these things. What things? Every precious thing written in this book up to this point. This is the last page. This is the last word. Everything written in this book, all of it, all of it. Verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I find myself honestly saying, please come. Please come. Please come quickly. Please come quickly. Sometimes this world gets the best of me. Sometimes it does. The pain and the sorrow, all of the sadness of sin, the hurt that it causes so much hurt. And the disappointment that it brings, it just brings so much disappointment. So much. It ruins happiness outside. It ruins joy inside. It ruins everything. It ruins peace. It ruins rest. It ruins unity. It ruins everything. It ruins everything. And sometimes that gets the best of me. Because there is so much sorrow out there, and because there is so much sorrow in here, because we have to deal with so much of it on this earth, and you know what I'm talking about, we have to deal with so much of it. There is so much of it. Because of that, I don't want to dwell on any of it tonight. There is so much of it in the world. And I don't want to dwell on any of it in here tonight. What I would like for us to do for the next 30 minutes or however long is I want us to take a break from the world. And I'm being very serious. I just want us to take a break. We're going to take a break from the world. We live in the world. We are in the world. In the flesh, we are of the world. By the Spirit of the new man, our Lord said, they're not of the world. But we have a ways to go. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take a break. And I want us to take that break by dwelling on the day that our Lord comes back. That's how we're going to take a break from the world. The day that He comes back to take us away from this sinful world. The first time he came for one reason only, to redeem us from this sinful world. And the next time that he's coming for one reason only, to take his people away from this sinful world. Verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now let's see if we can find a little comfort in the things that he has testified concerning this, concerning that day. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I'm coming quickly. He said, I'm coming, and I'm coming quickly. I promise I'm coming quickly. He is coming. He is coming quickly. It's going to happen so, so fast. And when he does, this is what's going to happen. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. Now, everything that we're about to look at, every promise, every comfort, this is to the redeemed. I want to make that clear from the get-go. Every promise in this testimony, in this word, is to those who were chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and called by the Spirit. It's to God's people. Those who are in Christ, loved of God in Christ. And I want to say this too. I have to say this too. To those who are outside of Christ, outside of the Father's choosing and the Son's redemption and the Spirit's call, to those who are outside of Christ, the promise of his return still stands. And he's coming quickly. He is coming very quickly. He is coming back, and outside of Christ, he's coming back in vengeance and wrath and judgment and all those things. But in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that full, complete salvation that Christ provided, on the day that he comes back, Isaiah 25, verse 8 says, he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen the day that he comes back. He secured every bit of that on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. He secured that. And that's what's going to happen in reality the day that he comes back. The day that he comes back. He's going to swallow up death in victory. He's going to wipe away all tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people, he's going to take it away. He said, I've spoken it. Verse 9 says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. In that day, have you envisioned his return? In that day, we're going to say, this is our God. We're not going to look up and wonder, is that him? Heard about him, but I've never actually seen him yet. Is that who we've been waiting for? We're not going to say that. Verse 9, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Look, he's coming right now to save us. He said he was coming, and there he is. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. That's what's going to happen on the day that he returns. That's what all those who are in Christ Jesus are going to say. Now, let's let that be proven to us at the mouth of two or three witnesses, and maybe a couple of scriptures for each witness. All right, turn with me to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The moment that Christ, God's high way, he said, I'm the way. The moment that Christ appears, the redeemed of the Lord, the ransomed of the Lord, and what that means is those whose sin debt has been paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you pay a ransom, you're making a payment. When you redeem something, you're making a payment. And the moment that he appears, all of the redeemed are going to start marching to Zion. We're going to march on air. We're going to leave the ground, and we'll start marching to Zion. And we are going to be singing songs as we go. We can mark God's word on it. He's given testimony after testimony after testimony on it. We are going to be singing songs as we go. And everlasting joy is going to be on our heads. Sometimes I think about us singing and worship. And it's just such a precious thing. Marching to Zion says, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. Because those who do know this God can't help it. They sing, and we're going to sing. We sing here, we're going to sing as we're going there, and we're going to sing there for all eternity. But in the moment that he appears and that we go walking, we will be singing. Everlasting joy is going to be on our heads. And in that very moment, sorrow and sighing will flee away. Isaiah 55 says, not only will we be singing as we go, but the mountains and hills shall break forth before us into singing. And I don't exactly know what that means, but I do know that whenever our Lord was riding into Jerusalem and all of his people were crying, Hosanna to the Son of David, and the Pharisees, the religious people, just didn't like it and said, tell them to shut up. He said, if I do that, all the rocks will start crying out. So I guess it means the hills and the mountains are going to break forth before us into singing. We'll all be singing together. The whole creation groaneth. And when that time of redemption finally comes, everything is going to be thrilled. That belongs to God. And it says, not only will the mountains and hills break forth before us into singing, it says, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Watch for that. Remember that. I believe we will. I believe we'll remember that and say, yep, the testimony was true. It's exactly what's happening. All right, now go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. What does that mean? I don't have any idea. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. I don't know. Verse 22, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Who enjoys getting up and going to work? You will. You will. You're going to enjoy the work of your hands. Verse 23 says, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Thank God. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Doesn't that sound wonderful? I think about, you know, I don't claim to be an animal person, but some of you all are animal people. And I was thinking about you while I was reading that today. How enjoyable, just how pleasant. The wolf and the lamb are just going to be buddies. Nothing but unity, nothing but harmony. All right, now let's see the event itself regarding the moment as it concerns us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's where we started. That's what he said would happen in that day. When he comes back, now I don't fully understand this. I do not. But I can just repeat to us what we just read. This flesh right here, this flesh is corruptible. And it's because of sin. And corruption cannot enter glory. Nothing corrupts there. Sin cannot enter glory. And I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so very glad to hear that. So on the day that he returns, the moment that we lay eyes on him, the trump shall resound. And when that trumpet blows, it's going to get all of our attention. And our eyes are going to go up. And when our eyes see him, John said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. In the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen so fast. You're not going to know what hit you. You're going to hear a trumpet. You're going to look up. And when we see him, we're going to be changed into his sinless, uncorruptible image. And in that very moment, all of God's people will say, verse 55, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory?" This is what all of God's people are going to say. "I thought the other side was death." We're watching each other die, you know, and they're crossing over to the other side. And we're all going to say, because see, right now we think we're alive. We haven't experienced life yet. It's veiled in a body of death. "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And we're going to say, "I thought death was on the other side." But it's not. It's life. It's life more abundant. In that moment, we're going to realize, we're going to immediately realize, there is nothing to fear in this at all. Nothing at all. This is only glorious. "Thanks be to God," verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." But Christ took it away. He took the sin away. Verse 57 says, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's what every child of God is going to say. As soon as we see him changed, or whether he takes us and we cross over, immediately we're going to cry, "Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for this." Have you ever wondered, I've had moments where I felt like he's coming in the next 5 minutes, and I've had moments where I felt like he's coming in the next 500 years. I don't know. No man knows the hour or the day. But have you ever wondered if I am one of the ones still standing on this earth when he returns? I wonder who will be here with me. You ever wondered that? You ever thought about being with brethren when that moment happens? Well, everybody is going to be here with me. Literally, everybody is going to be here with me. On that day, all of God's people, in that moment, all of God's people are going to be together. All of God's people. Go over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You ever been afraid to do something? So you try to get a group together? You think, "I'm a little afraid to do this on my own. It'd be easier if I was in a group." Well, in this moment, the whole group will be there. The whole group. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What that means is, all of our dear brethren are coming back. They're all coming back. We have, brethren that are very close to us, that the Lord has called home. I thought of preachers, pastors. Our dear brother Henry is coming back. And our dear brother Cody Groover is coming back. Brother Scott Richardson is coming back. And Jack Shanks is coming back. And Maurice Montgomery is coming back. And go on back through Arthur Pink and Charles Spurgeon. And the Apostle Paul is coming back. David is coming back. Abraham is coming back. Adam is coming back. Eve is coming back. Rahab the harlot is coming back. Mary Magdalene is coming back. Lydia is coming back. They're all coming back. We have said so many times, I've made this statement and so have you, so many times concerning brethren that the Lord has called home. We've said, I wouldn't want them to come back here for anything. Well, they're coming back. Whether we want them to or not, they are coming back. And in the moment that Christ appears, every blood-purchased child of God is going to come out of the grave that he or she was laid in. Every single one of them. God, through his apostle, does not want us to be ignorant about this. Verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where will that be? Where will we go? I need to hurry, but I'm going to finish because I want to tell you this. Where will we go? That doesn't matter to a child of God. That's totally irrelevant. True believers on Christ, they don't care where they are and they don't care where they go as long as they're with him. But our Lord has told us where he's taking us. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That means Christ lives there. The righteousness of God lives there. It's new heavens and a new earth. The other day I was looking at pictures of this rover that they landed on Mars. Looking at pictures of Mars. And as I was looking at those pictures, I thought, that looks like the earth. Looks like mountains and hills and desert and just looks like the earth. Mars has been there for a long time. And we had no idea what it looked like. But it was there. Been there for thousands of years. Or however long since God put it there. In the beginning. It was there. Man didn't know what it was and what it looked like. And you could see a little itty bitty dot in the sky. I guess maybe at the right time of year. I don't know. But it was there. And it just looks like a different earth. Our Lord has created a new earth. And it's really there. And there are really people on it. It's one that is large enough to house all the people of God. We look at this earth and think, well, how are all of God's people throughout all the generations and how is everybody going to stand on this earth? Well, it has to be a bigger earth. It has to be big enough to house all the people of God. Every soul that was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb has a reserved space on this earth. It's an earth that sin has no way of infecting. It cannot exist there. Righteousness is the only thing that dwells there. And the Apostle John said, I saw it. He said, I have seen it. I know what it looks like. And I'm not going to have you turn to this one because I'm going way over. But I'm just going to tell you that in Revelation 21, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and earth was passed away. There was no more sea. And he said, on this new earth, I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, which is people. And she was coming down as a bride adorned for her husband. Actually, turn over there. I've got to show you a couple of verses. Turn over there. Revelation 21. Verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his God. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Write it down, this is true and faithful. And he went on to say, the foundation of this new earth and the foundation of this new city is Christ. And the wall is Christ. And the gate is Christ. And the temple is Christ. And the light is Christ. And the glory is Christ forever and ever and ever. All of this is going to be realized. And it's going to be experienced. Everything Christ has secured and prepared for his people, it's going to be realized. And it's going to be experienced the moment he returns. In Revelation 22, verse 20 says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's all stand together.